Back together again, you and I, Tuesday, September 13th, 2022, right here on Connecticut Today. We took a look at the latest poll in the state's governor's race, and Practicing Physicians of America co-founder Dr. Marion Mass joined us to chat about the ongoing baby formula shortage. Yes, it is still out there, not completely rectified. You know, I know a lot of people don't like polls. A lot of politicos always say, well, geez, you know, I don't believe the polls. They say one of two things. They say, well, I don't believe the polls, or the other political thing that they lie about is they say, well, the poll is only a Governor O'Neill, the late gray Governor Bill O'Neill used to say this all the time. Governor, what'd you think of the poll today? Well, it's a snapshot in time. He used to say it's a snapshot. It's there, but it's a snapshot. There are things before the snapshot and things after the snapshot. But nonetheless, we have this new poll today from the folks at Emerson College, The Hill, and our friends at News 8, WTNH-TV, News 8. We carry there, of course, simulcast every Monday through Friday night. At 6, a new poll out, and it does not bode well if you are a fan of or intend to vote for any Republicans vis-a-vis Bob Stefanowski. Big old headline today, Lamont leads Stefanowski by more than 10 points in the News 8 The Hill Emerson College poll. Again, News 8 does this in conjunction with The Hill, which you can read. The Hill is a big-time, long-running Washington news site, and Emerson College. Here's the bottom line. This isn't close right now. If any of these numbers are to be believed, and Channel 8 and The Hill and Emerson spoke to 1,000 voters in the state September 7th, to the 9th. So again, on the 7th, 8th, and 9th, last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the poll was conducted 7th to the 9th of September with a margin of error of plus or minus 3 points. Voters were contacted by cell phone, landline, and through an online panel. So again, what helps with the validity here of these numbers here, you know, to some point, no poll is perfect. What helps with the validity is they got them on the cell, they got them on a traditional landline, that's probably older voters, and they did it online, which is probably younger voters, and that cell phone block, I should say, is someone somewhere in the middle. Here's the bottom line. Ned Lamont, now there's a real elephant in the room here for each candidate. And for the governor, for Governor Lamont, and he does have a sizable lead over Bob Stefanowski here, if you haven't seen the numbers yet, Ned Lamont gets 48.5%, 48.5%, right? Bob Stefanowski gets 38.4%. So simple math, I can do that, 48.5 minus 38.4. Gives the governor a 10.1% lead, right? A 10.1% lead here in the state. Now, that does not add up to 100% because there are two significant lines here. Number one, somebody else is at 4%, which is about what everybody would figure, right? Because back about 4 years ago, I believe the Oz Griebel Monty Frank ticket pulled about 3.9 or 4%. So that's interesting. So the I don't like either two of these guys or gals side looks like it hasn't budged from 4 years ago in 2018 when, again, we saw about, I think it was 3.9%. For the late Oz Griebel, friend of the program here, we should say, and Monty Frank, also a friend of the program. The undecided vote, which rounds it out to 100%, 9.1%. Now, using the logic that 9% will probably split, probably, you know, in most elections, you know, a lot of candidates say, well, look at all the people that are undecided. We can get them. Yeah, but you don't get all of them. You just don't. And studies show that it generally splits down the middle, right? I mean, people for years have said, well, you know, Bill Clinton only got elected that race where Ross Perot was in it, and then he dropped out. But no, it studies showed that the Perot voters went about 50-50. So 48.5 for Governor Ned Lamont, 38.4 for Bob Stefanowski. That's a 10.1-point lead, and that's not good for Stefanowski. This rate of the campaign, that's not good. 4%, somebody else, okay. You know, your third party, your independent party, whoever's on their working families party line, although the governor's on the working families party line and he's on the independent party line, that doesn't really show up in the 4%, so somebody else could be whomever. I'm not sure who's ever on these, who else is on these independent or third party lines. 9.1% undecided. Okay, so neither guy is going to get both of those. They're just not. So let's split it down the middle. Let's say each side gets 4.5%, shall we? So if you add 4.5% to Ned Lamont, you end up getting 52%. If you add 4.5% to Bob Stefanowski, you end up getting 43%, 42.9. So again, it's not good. It's about a 10-point raise. I thought it'd be closer. Now we'll get into the where, why, and what for us in a second. But here's the big point I take out of this. And this has been consistent, whether it's the News 8 poll, the Emerson the Hill News 8 poll, whether it's the Sacred Heart poll, whether it's the Quinnipiac poll. It's interesting. The governor is either a little under or a little over 50% for now. Now, he could top out, I'm thinking, 52, 53. But in what's supposed to be, Connecticut is considered this wildly liberal slash progressive state, he still is not breaking 50%. Even with, now in previous polls, and I have to look at these crosstabs, and I will as the show goes on more specifically today, but even with the state, as somebody thinks, as most people think who are the governor's supporters, you know, doing fairly well, we came out of COVID, the state's in the black, we've got housing prices going through the roof, people can get, you know, a lot more for their home or their condo or their house or their duplex or whatever, even more than they paid for it, maybe as recently as a couple of years ago. The governor is still not walking away with this or running away with it in a blue state, which tells me this. The Republicans in the state are about to blow a golden chance here. And again, I'm not faulting anybody who runs the party. I'm not doing that. I'm not faulting anybody who does the day-to-day work and Ben Proto and the staff there at the state GOP. That's not the problem here. You know, people vote for who they want to vote for. And here you have the second time around in 4 years after losing the first time around with the same candidate in the same high-dollar campaign. And yet, the guy that beat you last time is not even at 50% in this poll. Yet you're trailing by 10 points. Come on, read the room. Understand what's going on here. You know, we talk a lot on this program about healthcare. It's one of my pet areas to follow in the news because we all go to our physicians, whether it's a GP or whether it's a specialist. We expect the best out of them. They want to do the best for us. And oftentimes their voices, I think on a national level, can be unheard. And joining us right now is the co-founder of the group Practicing Physicians of America. And she is a pediatrician in the Philadelphia area. She serves on the editorial board of the Bucks County Courier-Times and the Doylestown Intel, and on the board of the Bucks County Health Improvement Partnership. She's a member of the Pennsylvania Medical Society, also writes op-eds and editorials. This one, interesting, months in, Team Biden still can't get the baby formula shortage under control. Dr. Marion Mass joins us this afternoon. Dr. Hi, it's Paul at WICC in Connecticut. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Paul. I'm delighted you're having me on the show.
Well, thank you. Tell us about your organization before we get into the continued problem with baby formula here. What's your organization all about?
Well, I'm a big believer in the grassroots. I don't know if you've paid attention to medicine, but it's costing more year after year, and people are getting less and less all the time, right? So there's an awful lot of people picking from the healthcare pie, I like to say. And so I didn't feel that physicians had a good organization that didn't have conflicts of interest that was representing us nationally. So I got together with a group of physicians from across the aisle, and we started Practicing Physicians of America in late 2016, came on with a splashy entrance at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., and we advocate to allow physicians to practice as they were trained. And to further it a little, in 2019, I was one of the two prime authors on a position paper that spawned a movement to a coalition, and now Practicing Physicians of America is part of a larger coalition. So it's patient and physician advocacy organizations that are part of FREE, the number two, in CARE. And FREE to CARE is 8 million citizens, 70,000 physicians behind the ideas that we elucidated in the paper. I'm giving Congress things to do that are actionable, that will make healthcare affordable, accessible, portable, and transparent. And best of all, it's not just me. It's a lot of physicians. The new paper is about to come out within a week, and we have about 19 experts that have contributed to the paper.
What are one, before we get into your op-eds here, Dr. Mass, what are one or two of those positions that you would like to see taken up and pushed forward through Congress?
Right. So I can give you some specific things, but what I say to people is really what this is about is cut the glut, open the books, and make everyone play by the same rules. So there's an awful lot of regulation that ties us up in medicine. It ties up doctors and nurses, and it confuses patients. Cut that glut of regulation. Open the books. You don't even know what you're paying when you go into the hospital. You could have a pregnancy in your family, and you could go call the hospital and ask them what it's going to cost you, and you won't really know.
Mm.
And it's the way that the insurance companies work together with the hospital situation. So we're pushing for transparency, and not just in the hospital setting, but who's making the money when you're buying medications at the pharmaceutical counter? You might pay the copay, but there's an awful lot of money changing hands behind the scenes. Open those books. Open all the books. Cut the glut. Open the books. Make everyone play by the same rules. Did you know that there's large middlemen corporations in America that have the right to legalize kickbacks? It's costing us billions per year, hundreds of billions.
Happy to have one of the co-founders, the current vice chair of Practicing Physicians of America, Dr. Marion Mass, on for a few more minutes. And, Doctor, you wrote an op-ed that's been picked up by some people, including the New York Post, regarding this baby formula situation. And I've had a couple of guests on this. And you talk about a house of cards here. That the first time a good stiff wind came across was bound to fail, and it did. And you point out that we're still not back up to speed with baby formula. How's that possible?
I know, it's shocking, because if you're 5-6 months and under and your mother's not able to nurse you, and there's many reasons why mothers can't nurse, there's a huge portion of babies in the United States that rely on formula. They can't have anything else. They're not eating anything else. So how does it happen? Well, my goodness, we closed down one plant and look at the problem that we have. One plant shutting down. Pre-pandemic, there was less than 10% of out-of-stock rates of formulas in stores and online. And now we're standing at 61%. I guess it's better than it was. It was up to a peak of 86%
wow.
In May. But we're still six times more than we were before the pandemic. And it's because we have a brittle supply chain. Why? Because we have only three companies making 95% of the baby formula in the United States. Why don't we have more competition in this sector?
Now, do I understand it, Dr. Mass, that, I mean, obviously, there are other companies that do this overseas, And thank God they helped us. It was quite a sight to see other countries, you know, sending formula to the U.S. I found that ironic. But is it this web of bureaucracy that makes it not practical for some of these other countries to want to set up shop here? Was that part of the problem here?
Well, as I see, part of the problem is 50% of the baby formula that we consume in the United States goes through the Women's, Infants, and Children's Program, the WIC program.
Mm-hmm.
And the WIC program's done a lot of good things. Look, there's a lot of people struggling and suffering in this country, and certainly where would we be as a culture if we weren't lifting up and helping our youngest and our most vulnerable? So, but the problem, I think, is in part the way the WIC program is financially structured. So each state gets to negotiate with the formula companies to pick which one is going to make the formula for that state's WIC program. And somehow we've gotten to a point where now there's three companies producing 95% of our country's formula. And there's not really transparency between why they're picking these three big behemoth companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I look upon it as the government's role. If they're through the government process, they're picking winners and losers, and then we're winnowing down to just a few companies. Well, don't they hold some responsibility for when there's a disaster like this, making sure that we have enough formula?
And
so there's no transparency in those contracts, and then, you know, we end up with so few companies. We need better competition in the whole formula-making space in the United States.
And the question, Dr. Mass, that I always ask when things like this happen in the news, okay, it happened, let's have a quote-unquote teachable moment, but is there any indication that anybody learned their lesson? Just like Mom and Dad used to say, did you learn your lesson now? You know, is this just going to be, okay, bump in the road, we got by this, we're going to go back to the old ways of doing it because we want to control the marketplace and control who's here. Is there any indication you think that we may actually learn from this or not?
Well, I hope that by getting the word out, I mean, I don't mind telling you, Paul, that this is maybe my 18th radio show. This piece really kind of went a little wild, and I'm glad about that. So it means that all your listeners are learning that we have a long-term problem of needing more competition in this space. And by the way, in almost every pharmaceutical space and medical supply space, we need more competition. But the short-term fix, too, concerns me because, you know, the FDA hasn't exactly been nimble. I mean, it took 4 months when that one plant shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that plant in Sturgis, Michigan, supplies 40% of Abbott's output. I mean, it's like, wait, why is Abbott concentrated so much on one plant? You know, if there's a problem for something that's so crucial, then how do you make up for that supply, right? And like, how do you get that plant moving quickly? If the FDA has to open it back up and they're taking 4 months to do so, I mean, that's an issue. Couldn't they open up a portion of the plant? And then if they can't do it, then they should be importing, but it took them a couple months to get to the point of importing. And even when they did get to importing, there's restrictions on what they can import because, well, these labels don't mesh with the FDA's labeling.
Yeah, you see, Dr. Mass, that's one thing that drives me crazy, and I'm glad you brought that up just in the short time we have left. So literally there was a labeling issue, as in printed labels as to certain things that had to be disclosed. So that was part of the holdup as well?
It sure was. I mean, we could have been importing more formulas from Europe, and I don't understand why an organization like the FDA with $6 billion to spend every year and 18,000 employees couldn't get around the labeling thing for the sake of the infants and their mothers in America.
It's maddening. So check out the piece, folks. It's titled Months In, Team Biden Still Can't Get the Baby Formula Shortage Under Control. Check out Practicing Physicians of America, the website practicingphysician.org, singular there, practicingphysician.org. And we've been happy and honored to have Dr. Marion Mass with us. Doctor, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And hopefully we can chat down the road. Thanks.
I'd be happy to do so.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Dr. Mass. Thanks. There you go, folks. So we're still what she say? We're only about 50% back on baby formula. One plant goes down, and she's not the first guest I've had on the show about this. One plant goes down, and we have to get a formula flown in. We landed a man on the moon in 1969. We can't have a better safety net here for baby formula. We're not talking about, wood stain or shellac here or finishing nails. We're talking about baby formula.